This is WNIN's Tech Talk DLC Extra Tech Talk for this week. I'm Tony Voss, joined once again by our technology expert at WNIN, Justin Williams. Hello, Justin.
Hello.
This week saw the release, and the early release at that, of the Kindle Fire, Amazon's venture into the tablet world. It was much ballyhooed. People were very excited about it. The price seemed right, and Justin, now people are really upset because apparently it's not very good.
Yeah, it's not as good as people were hoping for when they saw the first kind of screenshots and videos of the hardware. And that's not to say that it's a bad piece of hardware or software. It's just, it feels like a $200 piece of software. So I read a lot of the reviews of it. I didn't actually order one because I'm kind of gun shy on first generation things right out of the gate. I wanted to see what the reviewer said. And I'm going to read a couple of quotes from a couple of the reviews I saw. Joshua Topolsky from The Verge, which is my new favorite site on the internet, wrote about some of the hardware decisions. And he said, "I'm confused about a number of the decisions here. Unlike the Playbook, iPad, or pretty much any other tablet on the market, the Fire has no hardware volume controls, meaning that you have to go through a series of taps just to change the volume. The Fire also has no, quote, home button, just simply a small, hard-to-find nub along the bottom that is used for sleeping and waking the device and powering it up and down. That means that Amazon had to create software navigation to get around the tablet, which would be fine if the home button wasn't always disappearing into a hidden menu." David Pogue of the New York Times kind of said, "The Fire does not have anything like the polish and speed of the iPad. You feel that $200 price tag with every swipe of your finger. Animations are sluggish and jerky. Even the page turns that you think would be the pride of the Kindle team. Taps sometimes don't register. There's no progress or weight indicators, so you frequently don't know if the machine has registered your touch commands. The momentum of the animations hasn't been calculated right, so the whole thing feels ornery." They're not saying that it's the worst device in the world, but they are saying that the little details just aren't there, which completely takes away from the entire experience. And that's kind of what makes me question if this is something I want to buy now or wait for the second or third generation of it.
And obviously we've been spoiled somewhat, as it were, by the iPad. I don't think anybody expected this to be up to that level, but what it seems like is that they sort of fused a regular Kindle with some type of Android tablet, and in the process they managed to do bad versions of both, which is really surprising considering Amazon's Kindle is really good.
Yeah, but I think this is the same situation that they had with the original Kindle. The original Kindle was terrible. It was a great idea, but it had terrible hardware and it had really bad software. And then the next year they came out with the second generation Kindle and it was a little bit better, but it still wasn't that good. And then with the third generation, that's when they finally made a Kindle that I actually wanted to keep. I bought the first two and sent them back because I couldn't stand them that much. But the third one is the one that I use a lot. And I think this might be the thing that Amazon's going to do with the Fire as well. It's possible that they wanted to get this thing out early just to get in time for the holiday season, and they'll fix some of the software stuff in subsequent updates. But the hardware stuff you can't necessarily fix. But it wouldn't shock me if you see all these little complaints that you're reading in the reviews on Engadget or The Verge or The New York Times or whatever. The second generation of the hardware resolves these things, the software gets a little bit better, and then by the third generation of it, that's when you start having a compelling offering for that $200 price point. Right now, just because you can buy two Kindle Fires and a Kindle Touch for the price of a single iPad, I don't know if that's something I would want to do. I'd rather have one device that's really great rather than three that are just okay.
And while we're on the subject of the price point of the Kindle Fire, earlier this week on NPR's Morning Edition, there was a story about how the Kindle Fire was priced at $200, but Amazon was actually selling the item at a loss and hoping that they would make back the money on things like software sales. Now, the general bent of this story was that this is such a revolutionary idea in the world of technology. Justin, I really had to bite my tongue because it's way not.
No, this is how consoles make their money. That's how Microsoft got a really big footing in the console wars, is they sold the Xbox for a loss and then made up the money and selling you video games that were a little bit pricier. And that's kind of what Amazon is planning to do with the Kindle Fire. They're going to take a loss on every single tablet that they sell, but they're banking on the fact that you're going to sign up for Amazon Prime so that you can get the unlimited streaming, that you're going to rent movies through Amazon Prime, you're going to buy TV shows, you're going to buy books, and you're going to buy magazines. And selling that content is where they're going to make up that money on the actual hardware losses. Now, by comparison, I think the new Nook tablet is $50 more, and it has a little bit of that idea in it, but for that extra $50, I don't think they're banking as much on selling as much content, which is probably because Barnes & Noble doesn't have a really great music or movie or television show streaming offerings of their own. But yeah, this isn't anything new. This is what video game console makers have been doing forever.
The same thing even kind of goes for the cell phone world, where that free cell phone that you get is subsidized through your contract.
Yeah, there's a variety of different offerings. Yeah, my DirecTV was cheap because I signed a 2-year agreement, so I didn't have to buy all the hardware. This isn't anything new. They're basically just taking a loss up front and then making that money up as over the lifespan of the device as you use it. So I don't know why NPR thought this was so revolutionary. Maybe it's because it was the Amazon tablet, but it doesn't really wow me in any sort of way. Personally, I'd rather pay up front a little bit more and get something nicer than save some money at the outset and get something that's less quality.
Justin Williams is our technology expert at WNIN. You hear him on The Trend Fridays at noon on 88.3 WNIN and right here on WNIN.org. And he is notoriously hard to wow. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you.